Father, we do worship you as the only God, as the sovereign God, as the God that will get glory, and you do get glory forever and ever and ever. And this is one day out of an eternity in which you will be worshipped. And we don't only want to lift our voices in song to you, we want to worship you through your word right now. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and teach us, and that you move us in our hearts and our affections, that even in the preaching of your word, you would get much worship from each one of us. So help me to teach clearly as I ought to. And we pray that you, Holy Spirit, would be our teacher today. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, teachers is our topic today. We've had a lot of different types of teachers in our lives, a lot of different kinds of teachers. We've had school teachers who've taught us in school. We've had parental teachers who teach us at home. We've had Bible teachers who teach us at church. We've had entertainers who teach us through music, movies, media, TV shows. We've had friends who teach us, which this is kind of scary because psychologists say the most influential teachers in a kid's life are their peers. So be careful who you let your kids spend time with. We got YouTube teachers. Don't know how to tie a tie, fix a pipe, do your hair, you just get on YouTube and someone can teach you. We got coaches who teach us, bosses who teach us at work, just a lot of different teachers in our lives. And even people who are considered teachers aren't really teachers. You know, most of us who are considered teachers, that's my job to teach, but not really. I'm really a student. I spend about 40 hours a week probably studying and about 5 maybe teaching. So we all spend most of our lives as students being taught. And as Christians, the one teacher that we forget about, who's actually the most important teacher, is the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't forget about the Holy Spirit. He said this. He said, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." So Jesus says the Holy Spirit, he's a teacher of truth. He is our teacher that teaches us truth. But he's not just a teacher. Truth does not just come from him or through him or by him or out of him. It is him. Okay, he is truth. So that Isaiah 65:16 calls God the Father the God of truth. Listen, each member of the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, are truth. Okay, that is who they are. So Isaiah 65:16, God the Father is called the God of truth. In John 14:6, Jesus calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "I'm not just a teacher of truth. I am the truth." And then in John chapter 14, in John chapter 15, and in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit teaches us truth because he is truth. Yeah, that's how Jesus is teaching this. Here's another time Jesus taught this. John 16:13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you," or teach you, "all truth." So again, the Spirit is truth, therefore he teaches truth. That's the big idea. And that's absolutely foundational for what we're going to look at. So here's the question for the day. Okay, we're only going to answer one question in this sermon, and here it is. In light of the Spirit being our teacher, how does the Holy Spirit teach us? How does the Holy Spirit teach us? I would say many ways, but there are two primary ways that I want to talk about today. The Holy Spirit teaches us through, number one, inspiration of Scripture. Okay, He inspired the Scriptures. Number two, the Spirit teaches us through illumination of Scripture. All right, so that's where we're going. Number one, the Spirit teaches through inspiration of Scripture. This is the first passage I said, turn to 2 Peter earlier. Go back there if you lost it. 2 Peter chapter 1. Some of y'all remember we went through 2 Peter only a few months ago and looked at this passage. Chapter 1, verse 20. Actually, let's start at 19 and then we'll read through 21. It says this, "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you would do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So in relation to Scripture, there's a word that's being used here. Prophecy or prophet, used three times in this passage. So verse 19, it says the prophetic word. Verse 20, prophecy of Scripture. Verse 21, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Okay, so let's talk about prophets and prophecy just for a second here. We know what a prophet is, right? David was a prophet, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Moses. Okay, prophets. Given authority by God to speak and write Scripture. That's primarily how they are conveying, they're speaking on behalf of God, is through their voice, their mouth, their words, and what they write. And so for thousands of years, you have various prophets throughout the history popping up and speaking on behalf of God to different people at different times and in different circumstances, and writing different letters or books. And then you have 400 years of silence where no prophet spoke. Okay, no prophet is speaking for 400 years. No prophet is writing for 400 years. And they wait. And they wait. And they wait until who comes? John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Another is coming after me. He is far greater than I am. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. There's a greater one coming. I'm the last. I'm the forerunner for him and the last of the prophets." And Hebrews 1 is really helpful here. It says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Okay, so do you see what's happening? Stay with me. I know I'm just saying a ton of stuff right off the bat here, but all the prophets are speaking on behalf of God throughout history, all the Old Testament. John the Baptist comes. He says, "A transition is happening now. Transition's happening. Jesus is coming. He is now the voice of God. He is now the authoritative voice of God." And Jesus comes and speaks for God. And then, when Jesus is done with his ministry, he gives authority over to who? Okay, he passes the reins over to who? To speak for God. The apostles, primarily. And then the apostles are those who then have the authority to write Scripture and to determine what books make it in the Bible and what ones don't. Okay. So Peter says in this passage, here's the thing I wanted to get to. Okay. That all these authors of Scripture, they're carried along by the Holy Spirit. That they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write every word that we have in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is responsible for that. And Jesus, Okay, this isn't new, what Peter's saying. He just learned it from Jesus. Jesus already said this in John 14. He said, "When the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, when he comes, he will teach you all things," and then listen to this, "and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Have you all ever wondered? You know, you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you go, how did they remember, you know, every single event of that miracle? Or every word that Jesus said in that conversation. How did they remember that? Because you got to, a lot of these Gospels were written 20, 30, 40 years after. How did they remember all that? Well, Jesus just said the Holy Spirit brought it to their memory. The Holy Spirit told them exactly what to say if they couldn't remember it themselves. The Holy Spirit was carrying them along to write Scripture. Listen, church. This is very practical. Very practical. Okay, we need to know how we got this book. I mean, this is very... if we are going to submit our lives to it, right? But this is very practical. How did we come up with this? Is it worth submitting our whole life to? Every detail of our life? We need to think about how it was formulated and... the way that Peter is telling us it is formulated is men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Let's just think about the unique beauty of this book for a minute. We've talked about this in the past, but I just want to remind us. This is a book of 66 books. Okay, so 39 written before Jesus, 27 after Jesus. It's not set up in chronological order, but by literary genre, kind of like a library. So you have prophets, you have poetry, you have predictions of things to come. You have gospels, you have letters, you have history, you have law. It's about 75% Old Testament, 25% New Testament, all about, ultimately about Jesus. Either pointing back to Jesus or pointing forward to Jesus. And really, you could make an argument to say the Old Testament is just a series of prophecies and promises of things that will come, and then the New Testament is the fulfillment of those promises. Yeah, hundreds of prophecies, hundreds that have been fulfilled already and that are being fulfilled and that will be fulfilled. Scripture was written over the course of 1,500 years. About 40 different authors from various backgrounds. Very, very diverse authors here. Military generals, prime ministers, kings, prophets, shepherds, cupbearers, fishermen. All used to write. Many different educational backgrounds. Some highly educated, some not at all. Okay, from three different languages, Greek, Hebrew, and few portions in Aramaic. From three different continents, Europe, Asia, Africa. It is the best-selling book of all time, and it has been translated into more languages than any other book in the history of the world. It's a very unique thing that the Lord has done in formulating this book. And I know I've said this as well, but this just blows my mind every time I think about it. Give this scenario. Say that we asked or we interviewed six people that were the same age. So they came from the same occupation. They were the same race or ethnicity. And they were from the same country. And we asked them to speak their mind on one controversial issue, say the meaning of life. What are the chances that they're all going to agree? Pretty slim. Pretty slim. How much more impossible to find agreement when you have writings from 40 different authors on hundreds of controversial subjects, writing over the course of 1,500 years from three different continents in three languages, 66 different books that never contradict each other but always fit harmoniously, perfectly together? You'd say that's impossible. Unless Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that's how it worked. I got an email this week that was really troubling. It's from someone I care about, I know. In this email they said, "I no longer believe in the infallibility or inerrancy of Scripture. I do not believe the Scriptures were meant to be an authoritative source of truth in our lives. They were written merely by theologians and contain many good theological truths, even directions for salvation, but the book as a whole is flawed and erroneous." Very troubling. I had a lot of things that I wanted to say and things I was hoping I could say that could turn this person back to a right view of Scripture. And I'm still praying on exactly what I should say. But here's the fundamental problem. This person does not believe this verse. Okay? That's the problem. They don't believe that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the question you need to ask yourself, every one of us in this room, is, do you believe that? Do you believe that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit to write every word of this book, that it is God-inspired and has absolute authority for your life? So number one, the Spirit teaches us through inspiration of Scripture. Number two, the Spirit teaches us through illumination of Scripture. Say, what is illumination of Scripture? Here's what J.I. Packer said about illumination of Scripture. He's a theologian, one of the great theologians from past 50, 100 years. He said this, "The work of the Spirit in illumination is not a giving of new revelation, but a work within us that enables us to understand and to love the revelation that has already been given to us in Scripture. In inspiration, the Spirit provided scriptural truth for us. Now, by illumination, He interprets it to us. Illumination is the applying of God's revealed truth to our hearts so that we can grasp as a reality for ourselves what the sacred text sets forth. Illumination does not reveal new truth, but rather it gives understanding of old truth." Okay? That's illumination. So the Holy Spirit inspires this book. It's the words of God. And then the Holy Spirit then illuminates it to give us understanding and to bring it and make it a reality to our lives. And so to put it really simply, basically illumination is when the Holy Spirit takes this book and then just shines light on it, so that we understand it. Just kind of flips the light on. And the Bible goes, it's alive. And it's alive to me. And I understand it and I love it. So you can be sitting there reading. You've got your Bible open. You got the white page, the black letters, and you're just kind of reading. You're learning some historical truths. You're getting some new doctrine. You're reading some stories. And it's just not really that interesting. You're not really affected by it. And then the Holy Spirit comes and illuminates it and takes what's dull and boring and seemingly tasteless and kind of bitter and makes it as sweet as honey. And you love it. And you understand it. And it makes sense. And that's illumination. And that's happened to me hundreds of times. All the time. Because, not because of anything in me. Okay, I'm definitely nothing special. But because I have the anointing. Which immediately sounds really arrogant, doesn't it? Like, what? Because we've been taught wrongly about this. We've been taught really wrongly about the anointing. I have the anointing to understand Scripture. Look at 1 John. You can go there if you want, or you can listen. I'll read it. 1 John 2:27. "The anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but His anointing teaches you about all things. I have the anointing. I have the anointing. And if you're a Christian, you have the anointing. So that you can understand and delight in Scripture. The anointing of Scripture. And listen, I know that some people teach that the anointing, that's something that's only for really godly or really spiritual people. It's only for a select few. It's garbage. Okay? The anointing is for every Christian across the board. Okay? Everyone who has the Holy Spirit in them has been anointed, and the anointing teaches us all things. That's what 1 John 2:27 says. So, okay, I want us to learn more about this. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. While you're going there, I'll just say, I plan to teach on this passage the whole time this week. This is going to be our one text for the morning. And then, what was it? So Tuesday and Wednesday, I spent like 8 hours studying this passage. This was going to be what I was preaching. Thursday, just didn't think that was what we should do, and I just trashed most all of it. And here's the big idea. Here's the big idea of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That we got the Scriptures, but you can't understand them unless the Spirit illuminates them. Okay? They're there. It's all right here. But you can't get it unless the Spirit gives it to you. That's the big idea of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So read this. We'll start in verse 12. There's a lot of stuff right before that that's saying a very similar thing, but we'll start in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. We'll read through 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this not in words taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not even able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So do you hear that? Apart from the Holy Spirit bringing understanding, you can't understand this book. I don't care how smart you are. You can't understand it. Now listen, non-believers can understand many things about the Bible. When I say understanding, I'm not meaning you can't memorize it. You can't understand core doctrines. You can't affirm those or teach those. You can, okay? But you don't know what it says. You don't know what it means. There's no reality to it. But you memorized it. But you can repeat the doctrines. But no, you don't get it. Unless the Spirit teaches you. That's the only way. Jesus said, some have eyes, but they can't see. Some have ears, but they can't hear. Spiritually speaking. Jesus said about the Pharisees, they're always learning. They're always learning. There's so much learning, but yet they don't understand anything. They never come to a knowledge of the truth. He's saying, you can learn theology all day, but unless the Holy Spirit teaches us, we don't know anything. We don't know anything. Listen to how 2 Corinthians, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it. 2 Corinthians 4:3. Listen to how Paul teaches here. He says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, that's Satan, The God of this world has blinded what? Their eyes? No, their minds. Blinded their minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing what? The words on the page? No, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. That's what he keeps them from seeing. You go, Jesus loves you. He died for you. And they go, okay. They don't see it. They don't know how good it is. It's not good news to them. They're spiritually blinded. The God of this world has blinded their minds so that they can't understand it. But when someone's eyes are truly opened by the Spirit to understand, they always trust Jesus for salvation and they love Him. And true Christians have had their eyes opened. We have been anointed by the Spirit with understanding. We have been taught by the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. Do we know all things? I mean, we've been taught by the Spirit, but I mean, do you understand all this? Do you burn with passion for Christ when you read it? And we have been given understanding, and we do see, but only a little, you know? We see so dimly. Enough to be saved, okay? There's enough understanding to be saved, but still so little. Do we really, really understand the divine truth of God? Therefore, if we just left here and everybody just started praying this, I would be really happy about the results of this sermon. David, psalmist, prays, "Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law." Okay, that is a prayer from someone who understands they need the Holy Spirit to teach them. And I pray that every time, every day when I read the Bible. I'll open the Bible, I'll just pray, "Holy Spirit, teach me. Open my eyes, show me wondrous things in this book." Because I didn't used to pray that. But listen, I didn't used to get as blessed as I do now when I read the Bible either. And again, it's not about me. It's not about anything about me. It's about the fact that I finally learned who my teacher was. I finally realized who my teacher was. It's the Holy Spirit. And when you ask Him, He will teach you. There's nothing impressive about, I don't know what everybody's concepts are, someone who just has some amazing time with God in the Word. Like, you know, there's some people who they just get alone with God and it's just amazing. Those people are people who are being taught by the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. There's nothing special about that person other than the fact that the Holy Spirit becomes their teacher in that moment and shows them wonderful things. Okay, why in the last, 2 to 3 years are my devotions, my time with God, so much better than the rest of my Christian life? Because I finally learned who the teacher was. And I go to Him and I ask Him and He answers that prayer. He wants to teach us so that when we ask, He is ready to come in that moment and to teach us what we need. Here, let me ask you this. Some of y'all, I'm sure, do this, and so this is not new to you. When we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, what are we even wanting Him to teach us? I was thinking about that. What do we want Him to teach us? How many animals are in the ark? Or what kind of wood was the ark made out of? And who cares? What do you want Him to teach you when you read the Scriptures? I'll tell you, here's what I want Him to teach me. It's in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10. This is what I'm hoping when I pray that He's going to do for me when He comes to teach me. Verse 9, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's what I want to learn. No matter what book of the Bible I'm reading, I want to know, what have you prepared for me? In Christ, I'm in Christ. Now what beholds me? What is in my future? What is coming for me? How much love do you have for me? Listen. Look at verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through His Spirit. It's the Spirit who shows us all that God has given us and will give us in Christ. And then look at verse 12. It just as good. It says this. We have received, and not the Spirit who is of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. We get the Holy Spirit so that we can understand all that has been given to us in God. Jesus, and then all the blessings that come with Jesus. So, the Holy Spirit, when we pray, Holy Spirit, teach me, open my eyes, I want to see wondrous things in the Word. We're hoping, maybe a lot of things, but here's what the Spirit's hoping. He's hoping He can teach us about the blessings and the promises and the beauties of Jesus. That's what He wants to teach us. That's what He wants to teach you when you pray that. I'm spending the year in the major and minor prophets in my devotions in the mornings. And so right now I'm in Habakkuk. And so, in the mornings, I just put my Bible down before I even read a word. I just, Holy Spirit, teach me, open my eyes so I can see wondrous things in the Word. And then He does. And then He comes and teaches me. Sometimes it takes a minute. And right when I start reading, just something comes off the page. Or sometimes it's 20, 30 minutes, and it all just doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's just a bunch of... And then the Holy Spirit just brings some sort of understanding to me, into my heart. The Scripture isn't just the Scripture. It comes to me, and it makes me repent of some sin. Or it causes me to pray for some person. Or it causes me to worship God for something He's done for me. And so, you know, yesterday I was reading the book of Nahum. It's like, Nahum, what are you going to get out of that? That's what most, you know, a lot of people may think, Nahum, you know, I didn't even know that was a book of the Bible. And I'm reading Nahum, and it says this in the first few verses. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. He takes vengeance on His adversaries. And if the Holy Spirit didn't teach me, I just keep reading. But here's what happens. I got this real sense that, oh wow, I'm God's adversary. I was God's adversary. And He should punish me with His wrath. But praise You, Jesus, that You took the wrath of God for me. And that God avenged all of His anger and wrath on my sin on His Son. Praise You, Jesus. And I just started worshiping Jesus out of Nahum because the Spirit taught me. It's the Spirit. It's not me. But I ask Him to teach me, and then things like that just happen. And it's sweet. And so listen, my devotional time, it's like 20, 30 minutes. Okay, it's nothing spectacular, but it's so good because when the Spirit shows up and teaches, it's 20 minutes become wonderful. And I just, you know, I hope none of you are discouraged thinking, you know, I just don't know enough about the Bible. I'm not that godly to have this type of experience. And I would just ask you, do you actually ask the Holy Spirit to teach you? I mean, do you actually rely on God to teach you when you open the Word? And then, if you do that, do you expect Him to actually do it? I mean, do you actually expect the Holy Spirit to show up and then bless you? You know, this isn't about being godly, and this isn't about just knowing stuff about the Bible. You know, I pray that because I don't know much stuff about the Bible. And because I'm not that godly, and I need to be. That's why we pray this. Illumination. Illumination. It happens when we read the Bible, but it also can happen when the Bible is being preached or taught to us. Okay? We don't want to just think about illumination happening when we read, our only time reading the Word, but also in preaching. I was, some of y'all know, I've mentioned this before, I was at the Gospel Coalition a month or so ago, and I had the opportunity in the course of about 3 days to listen to, you know, 10, 12 sermons. I was really excited about this. I don't get a chance to just kind of sit and hear the Word of God preached as much as I would like. I listen to it a lot online and different stuff, but I was really excited to hear John Piper and Tim Keller and Matt Chandler and D.A. Carson and a lot of guys I listen to all the time just sit and hear him preach. And so we're there, and I'm sitting and I'm listening, and some of these guys I was really excited to have preach to me. I'm like, preach to me, you know. And then when they were done, here was my response. Is that it? I was just like, that. I mean, it was really good what they said, but I was just like, I wasn't that blessed. Like, I thought it would be more powerful than that. And then here's what's funny. A lot of the guys I had never heard of, I'm sure other people have heard of them, but I just didn't know who they were. I would sit, and when I heard them preach, I was blessed. I mean, it was amazing. I got done, I was like, wow. I mean, it really affected me. So what was the difference? Illumination. Here's what I mean by that. With the preachers that I really respected and that I knew, this is how I would approach the sermon. Teach me. Okay, I know who you are. You're a really good teacher. Teach me. And I was completely relying on the man. And then on the other preachers, I'm just like, well, they got the Bible, they're a preacher, you know, God use them, but teach me, Holy Spirit. And I approached it completely different, and the results were completely different. Here, the man got done, and I said, wow, what a preacher. And over here, they get done, and I said, what a God. What a God. Illumination is the difference. And so when you come to hear a sermon, you're praying to understand what's said, but you want to be taught by the Spirit. You want to be blessed by God, that He would use me or another to speak to you His words, and that He would come and work in you. So, here's my point. When we ask the Spirit to teach us and to cause us to worship Him, whether it be with our time in the Word or our time in a sermon or reading some Bible-saturated book, when we pray, Holy Spirit, come, He does. He wants to answer that prayer. And that prayer is according to the will of God. He will do it. So, if the Spirit inspires Scripture and if the Spirit illuminates Scripture, here's the last thing. What do we do? That's what He's doing. He's inspired this book, and then He brings it to life and brings it into us and changes us by it. But what do we do? And so the first thing we do, we get in the Scriptures. Hey, read your Bible. Read it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Study it. Get a good commentary. Get a good book that will help you better understand it. Listen to sermons that will help you understand it. Okay? Just learn the Bible. Study the Bible. And then think. All right? When we say the Holy Spirit is our teacher, we're not saying we don't think. You think when you read the Bible. It's amazing how often we approach the Bible with our brains turned off. And we just kind of do it and don't even think about what we're reading. That's not how the Holy Spirit teaches us. He teaches us when we think. He uses our minds. So you're reading something, you're like, why did He say it like that? What does that mean? I don't understand. And then you think about what's being said. You read around it. You get the context. You get another book. You study. And the Holy Spirit comes and He teaches and He brings life to that and understanding. So we think. And then here's the second thing we do. We pray. And we pray. And we pray. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Take me deeper into the depths of the gospel. Take me higher into the heights of your love. Take me further into the breadths of your mercy. And he does. And he will. So, I want to end like this. One of Paul's pastoral prayers, you can go to Ephesians 3. We'll just look at this together to end. It won't be on the screen. Some of y'all may be familiar with this passage. I quote this every Sunday in the benediction. But it's hitting right at the heart of what we have been seeing today, I think. You know, why did the Holy Spirit inspire the Scriptures, and then why does He illuminate them? What's the purpose of that? Well, I think this passage tells us. The Spirit inspired the Bible. The Spirit illuminates the Bible so that we can know, listen, so that we can know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Surpasses. Look at it with me. Ephesians 3, 16. Paul prays that he may grant you, kind of jumping in the middle of 16, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And then jump down to verse 18, that we have may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So, praise the Holy Spirit for inspiring and illuminating Scripture so that we can know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Let's pray. We do praise you, Father, for sending first your Son who died for us, who paid the full penalty for our sins on the cross, and he just tells us, trust me for salvation, you'll be saved. We praise you for Jesus. We praise you for sending the Holy Spirit to us, to indwell us, to give us the anointing so that we can understand your word. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for inspiring and illuminating the Scriptures so that we can be changed by them and so that we can know them and so that we can ultimately know you and how much you love us. Give us understanding even of what's been said today. Lord, help us to treat your word as a means to an end. To know you and to love you and to worship you. We believe that's why you've given it to us. We love you. We thank you so, so much for all that you do for us. You're so good to us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.